The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's another one.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Salty Tua. Let's go, Salty Tua! What's
the Dolphins have Lamar this season, are they Super Bowl contenders?
At Rich Eisen Show. Yay or nay? Salty Tua. Let's go, Salty Tua!
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic, Bill Oram. Actor O'Shea Jackson. Coming up, Rams general manager Les Snead. Plus, actor Michael Chiklis. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The man of the hour in L.A., Les Snead, slated to call in shortly right here. The general manager of the Los Angeles Rams. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Michael Chiklis is here, man. One of our favorite guests is here from one of our favorite shows, Winning Time. Mm-hmm. Man who plays Red Auerbach on that show.
Fantastic.
I mean, what a stroke of genius casting, right?
Genius. Big Boston honk. And, you know, when you do him up, actually looks like Red.
He does look like Red.
That's rock and roll.
I know.
It was awesome. He was great.
Fantastic. The scenes with him and John C. Reilly together were just stupendous.
Stupendous. You're not a killer. Yeah. You're not a killer.
They were absolutely fantastic.
Court.
Some news just broke in hour number three, top hour. Tiger Woods is not going to compete in the U.S. Open.
I think if you watched him play in the PGA and saw him kind of limbering around and really struggling, and you know the fact that he had to withdraw after round three, I think you could see this coming. He really wants to play in the Open Championship, which is at St. Andrews, and I think skipping the U.S. Open might help him do that.
Right. So. Okay.
Major bummer, obviously. It's in Boston next week, but hopefully he'll be back.
Yeah,
soon.
I mean, it was obvious that something was amiss.
He was hurt.
At the PGA Championship,
he was
sure. So that's some news breaking right there. And the story of the day yesterday here in Los Angeles was, in fact, the signing to a new contract of one of the best players the NFL's ever seen on the defensive side of the ball. And certainly the best defensive player in the game today. And when he said he was at peace, what did I tell you? I told you Les is going to get this thing done. We'll figure it out. Because if the picks can be effed, so can the cap. That's my two cents. I'm not a math guy. I'm not a capologist. But joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead. How you doing, Les?
I'm good. How about you, Rich?
I'm good. So was more Aaron Donald on the McVay wedding registry? Did you get that instead of a gravy boat? For the McVays?
You look at the registry and you're like, okay, what's Sean really going to do with like this type of spoon or this, fork to right. stick in the pot roast? So
yeah,
let's do Aaron Donald instead.
Wise choice, Les. I think that's a win-win. We call that a win-win for everybody. So how long has this been in the making, Les, this contract?
This has been in the making. Since the probably the moment after the Super Bowl, and that I know AD had been discussing whether if he ever won his first, would he retire, would he not? So we've obviously been in communication with Aaron, with Todd France, Athletes First, probably a couple of days after the Super Bowl up until yesterday.
Okay, and so when he mentioned on a podcast recently on Brandon Marshall's show that he would be at peace with his career, was that a message in your direction? Were things going a little sideways or anything like that at the time?
I think at that point in time, right, the momentum of the negotiations were in a very good spot. Okay. I do think it was probably the timing of the podcast. Maybe they asked a big picture question on retirement, and I think AD probably laid out, you know, probably his reasons for thinking about it, which really with Aaron, and I'll say this, he's obviously one of the best defensive players to play the game, things like that. But I do think Aaron's one of those players when, right, he really wants to take a look inside it and figure out if he can still be the best defensive player. And I think he did that soul searching and figured out and thought that he still could be, and that's why he decided to come back and play.
And in terms of coming back and playing, the contract appears to be the same number of years left that he had anyway. It's just a highly enhanced monetarily contract. What's the general sense that you have for that third year where he'll have a decision to either walk away or make $30 million, which way he might even be leaning less?
You know, I think again, we'll take it one step at a time, year by year. And I think that's a reasonable number to start and to have this contract. And then at that point, after each year, we'll sit down and discuss, hey, you know, what's best, what's Aaron. And at this point, it's in Aaron's hand, right, of how long he wants to continue playing. But I do think big picture, Aaron does think that right now in this situation, our situation, the Los Angeles Rams, based on the core that we have, you know, we all have the vision of kind of making the most of the window we're in presently.
Les Snead, general manager of the Rams here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just mentioned the window that you have presently right now and how it works, not just the timing for Donald, but maybe for you with the team. I guess I'll ask the general question that fans are wondering. How do you have room under the cap for all the signings that you have, including Donald? Les, how does this work?
You know what, the neat thing is the cap, the cap is we gotta love the cap. I think it helps the NFL, right? It helps everyone in the NFL be competitive. There is ways to be creative to get under and things like that. So I think our philosophy right now is in the situation we're in our window, right? Aaron Donald, very, very important. So there's no better money to spend on the defensive player or any player other than him. And at that point, there are sacrifices that we do have to make in other places. And I know you had mentioned it earlier, right? The picks and things like that. But there, when we do someone like Aaron, there is that moment where we have to do a really good of drafting a player like Greg Gaines, who maybe no one on your radio show or even in your studio knows who he is, right? Homegrown in L.A., played at Washington. I think we drafted him in the fourth round, but he's been starting beside Aaron, you know, starting last year and will start this year. So we have to do our part in making sure we draft and develop those type of players and they come in and contribute.
So you're able to fit it under the cap under the window that you currently have. Is Cooper Kupp next, Les, for you?
Yeah, Cooper Kupp, you know, he is next on the list.
Okay.
Nailed that, for sure.
And so when do you think that something like that gets done next with him?
Our intention is to come to, as you said earlier, a win-win, right? We'd love to do it before camp. We'd love to do it sooner than possible. But in these types of situations, right, when there's an element of, right, a player under contract, we feel like he deserves a raise. We want to get an extension. But with that, there's a lot of variables. Like, there's objective variables. There's speculative variables. So sometimes it takes a little more time. It's not a microwavable situation to be creative and come up with a win-win for both Cooper and club so that, like, Cooper can be rewarded, club can continue being successful in the moment and in the long term.
So then what is the window? What do you got? What's your idea of a window? And I know that's a dicey question to ask a general manager, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You mentioned a couple times.
It's a very dicey question. I can say this: we're a very boring organization. We're kind of main thing to main thing, one step at a time, really one game at a time, one phase at a time. So that's one thing. So right now we're going to focus on finishing up our mini camp. Then we'll focus on training camp. Then we'll get ready to to face a very, very tough opponent in the Buffalo Bills, and we'll keep it that way. But I can tell you there's this, you know, from a bigger conceptual window is I do think as long as we have a quarterback like Matthew Stafford and contributors like Aaron, contributors like Cooper Kupp right in their prime playing their best football, we definitely have a chance to be in the mix every year.
And is there money left for, say, like Odell, if Odell wants to come back? And, you know, obviously Sean's been on this show saying he'd like him back. If I'm not mistaken, he crashed Sean's wedding this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, there's only one person who could crash that wedding, but boy, Odell did it in a very, very, you know, Odell, OBJ-like way, right? He just has the personality, the swag to pull that off, and it was cool. It was really cool to see. Because Odell, it was a really, really good time together with him. I think we all felt that, you know, the situation for him and him helping us, it was just a neat time to grow and bond and him coming back and seeing some of his players. But, yes, we've definitely talked with OBJ. I know his situation, right, based on the injury and how much he can't play are going to affect, I would call it this year's contract, maybe the year one of a contract, but we've always had a plan, a vision that if Odell would like to be back, we definitely welcome him home.
So, like, again, I guess, and not to get too deep in the weeds, Aaron Donald hasn't taken up all the money, is what you're saying, in short order, right?
He hadn't taken up all the money, but I did tell Aaron yesterday that he's starting to get paid a little more like The Rock than he is a football player. I know he, you know, he signed with Kanye, and I call it, that's his NIL group, you know, and he's got some vision. So he's getting close to The Rock money. So, but you know what? We're definitely, Aaron's a big part of it, and a big part of the vision of, hey, not just being himself, but also, right, Aaron did make some sacrifices in this contract, even though he is well paid, and as I said a minute ago, getting paid a little more closer to The Rock. But he did make some sacrifices allow us to do our part in building a team that can continue.
Well, I mean, you've reset a market at the position, or you could say Donald did it, and you just paid him accordingly, right? And then you've got Kupp, who you say is going to be paid, or at least the plan is to make that happen despite the variables that you mentioned. Does it cross your mind at all, Les Snead, that the team that you beat in the NFC championship game that also happens to reside in your division has to pay their top defensive lineman and wide receiver as well, and you could set a market in a way that might cause an issue for them? Does that ever cross your mind, Les Snead?
You know, deep in the bowels, you know, we're definitely competitive, and, you know, like we like to bruise the enemy as much as possible. But I think in those situations, right, we're really focused on Aaron. We're really focused internally on us. And if we do this with Aaron, right, what's the second, third, and fourth and fifth level domino effects from that contract, and how do we work around it? And I'm sure the Niners are doing the same themselves. They're focusing on themselves, trying to build the best Niners team as possible so that, right, when we do battle twice a year, it's still one of those, hey, it's one of those 15 round heavyweight fights, mm-hmm, for sure.
All right, so before I let you go, how did Odell crash the wedding? You said he did it in Odell fashion. What happened at the McVay nuptials?
Technically, I guess crashing the wedding means you showed up without an invite. Mm. Now, I can tell you that as just a guest, right, of the wedding, who didn't necessarily have to crash it and probably wouldn't have the swag to crash it.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden it's like Odell. It was a great wedding, really, really cool. The core in the setting was unbelievable, but the what made this one probably unique, mm-hmm, is, I mean, there's a lot of head coaches, right, at this wedding that had once worked with Sean or Sean worked for. There's a lot of football people, and then there's also friends and family, right, from past and things like that. But from this, let's call it this football kind of game, all of a sudden, you know, there's Odell, and he shows up, and he's right in the mix, and it's like, oh, why not? So you didn't really know
when
he crashed the wedding.
Right.
It was just, hey, cool to see Odell there, cool to give him a hug. I know you know Kara, my wife, the last time we had seen Odell, right? He was expecting, it was probably on the bus ride to the parade, and that parade was bittersweet for him based on the injury he had, you know, a couple of days before. So he was not in the highest of high spots, but to see Kara and OBJ connect and check out baby pictures and things like that, it just feels like, you know,
it's phenomenal.
Like he was supposed to be there.
Yeah, the cake looked great too. Did you have a piece of the trophy or a piece of the Rams logo, or was it just the cake? Was the trophy and the Rams logo was just the plate that it was on? The wedding cake.
I actually think there was two desserts going. I didn't eat any of the desserts. I tried
of course
to watch
not.
The guy, but I can't tell you when I saw the pictures of the cake.
Yes.
I probably would have been tempted. You know, I would have had to at least. You know, try that.
It looks like it's chocolate inside. That's what it looked like. It looked chocolate inside when McVay took a bite of it.
But it was one of those where, that's what I said, it was, there's a chance that the McVays maybe wasted a little money on a lot of food and cake, because the neat thing is everyone there was having a blast, because it was a little bit of like this football reunion, and then it was the Miami of Ohio reunion. It was the Marist High School reunion. It was Veronica's friend. So there was these different, right, gangs of reunions going on, and everyone was having a blast. So I do think there was some money spent on some really, really nice food that didn't get eaten.
Well, I got to tell you what, at least, you know, there was no cap clearly on the catering. So
yeah,
he handled
Sean,
that.
Sean did inform us, because boy, did there was some flowers at this wedding. I mean, there was some flowers, and Sean did say, "I'll never tell you how much we paid for
it." He went over the cap. Maybe that's why he needs to keep it to himself. Hey, man, congrats on getting Aaron Donald done. He must be a happy guy. He must be a very, very happy guy. And I'm sure that that's something that you want resonating in the locker room, too, is that you do what you do here, you get paid. That's it. I think that's neat. You know?
Yeah, I mentioned that to him yesterday, Rich. I mean, from Pitt to where he's from now, but we would never be surprised that he became this type of player if everyone was able to observe, and I call this his boring lifestyle of the 300 and let's call it 50 days in between those games, how much he basically dedicates hours in the day to getting better at his trade. And it's a pace that not many people could keep. So he definitely earned it along the way.
Same to you, Les. Say hi to Kara. Let's connect soon. Enjoy the next couple days of camp and then the summer before. When is the ring ceremony? When's that? When you got that?
You know what? I haven't been given an invite yet, but I think
you're on the list.
It's in later July, but I'm not sure there's a hard date yet.
Well, I'm going to crash that like OBJ, okay? That'll be great. It'll be terrific.
That's a good one to crash, Rich. Maybe there'll be a leftover piece of jewelry. You never know.
I'm looking for cake. That's all. I'll just take some cake. That's it. I'll just do that. Take care of yourself, Les. You be well. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me.
You know, anytime. Come on. Les Snead here on the Rich Eisen Show. Told you he was going to take care of it. There's the church bells going out the door. Let's take a break. Michael Chiklis is here, baby. We'll find out. Did he bring his dog or did he not? Do we know?
We don't know.
We don't know. All right. He'll either be dogless or he'll be here. Either way, we love him. Michael Chiklis when we come back. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. Michael Chiklis here. Our terrestrial radio audience just returned, and we just saw a clip of Winning Time. And, you know, I know there's a lot of question about the history and what's real and what's not.
Right.
But what is real was just the experience of watching this show and watching it be acted the way that it was, shot the way that it was. Yeah. And again, the scenes with you and John C. Reilly, you as Red Auerbach, him
a lot
as Buzz.
More coming, because as you know, the rivalry gets thicker and thicker.
Oh, no
right?
question about it.
It sets that scene right there really sets the pick for the rivalry between the ownership, you know, between the people in charge. And it went from the top down. it was a real, true rivalry, not just between the players. It was everybody, you know.
So when you dressed as Auerbach for the first time, okay, so where they picked out whatever, you know, horse blanket, if you will, 80s, late 70s sport coat.
Yeah.
And they put the Auerbach hair on you and you had the stogie lit. What did you think of when you looked in the mirror for the first time?
Well, I have
like, look at that right there.
I mean, get
out of here.
I think that certain characters that you play, you know, certain characters you approach from the inside out, these are actor terms, but in some you go from the outside in. And in this case, it was definitely the outside in, because as soon as, like you say, once I got that wardrobe and the stogie and the hair and then the Brooklyn, next thing you know, there he is, you know, and it really was exciting. And again, I grew up in Boston and my father used to scream about him. He loved, now, you know, Red stopped coaching, I believe it was in 66, and I was a kid, I was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. But he was always, he was ever present, especially when he was the president of the team. Mm-hmm. He was just around, he was always there, and you couldn't miss him, look at him. You know, in a crowd, you couldn't miss that guy. And you say 70s costuming, that's, I didn't know anybody who dressed like that even then. He was, you know what I mean? He was unique even then with those, he was just gaudy and audacious. And can you imagine in this day and age someone lighting up a stogie with 3 minutes left in the game?
It would go everywhere. No, but it would go absolutely everywhere. Like, what's he thinking?
What's How dare he? What are the fence, you know? And then you hear all the stories, you know, about the windows being glued shut and the
AC turned off.
Exactly.
Can you imagine first take the next day?
Oh.
Did Red Auerbach show up his opponents lighting a cigar 3 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Really, as an actor, this is just, I'm just delicious.
Yeah, red meat, man, and you chewed it up. You chewed it up. And again, the scenes with you and John C. Reilly together. Like
a lot
two
of fun.
Fantastic actors in the role of two pop culture iconic individuals that you would never think would be portrayed on a TV show, right? And then again, the scene where one of the first scenes you mentioned, Chasen's Restaurant here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. where Buss is wining and dining Red Auerbach, thinking that you could be the same type of mark as everybody else in his life, where, you know, women and that sort of allure of LA lifestyle would be able, you'd be reeled in as Red Auerbach. And no, like, you're the adult who just wants to win and rip his heart out, and you essentially telling him that. I watched that scene 3 times over because it was fantastic. Just really great.
Well, again, man. Like, you know, everything starts on the page, right?
Yes.
And I have to say, Max Bornstein, he's a tremendous writer, really, really talented. And you don't get dialogue like this. You know, when I read that scene, I just went, oh, okay. You know, I get to do this. And on top of it, Jonah Hill directed the episode.
Is that right? Yeah? That's right, that episode.
Yeah, okay. Which was hilarious in and of itself.
How
and the
so?
Stories.
What do you mean? I mean,
it's just the directions that he gave me. All right, now just terrify him right now in this take. Just absolutely. Like, he come over and whisper in my ear and just like, you know.
So John C. Reilly doesn't hear?
Yeah, so he doesn't hear. Just absolutely terrorize him now. You know, I'm like, okay, Jonah, go ahead.
Well, you did. I mean, you did.
We had, you know, it's just a fun process and really, really talented folks. And from everybody, the DP, everybody is really, really good.
Yeah, you know. And you know, Celtics are up next in this story. I'm not talking about now, but back in the day.
Well, we'll get to that, right?
Right. they're up next in the story. They win next, if I'm not mistaken. After we just watched the Lakers win and Magic is the MVP, the Celtics are up next because Magic gets hurt. And then Riley comes in, and I can't wait for the scene when Adrian Brody finally slicks his hair back
right,
and becomes
exactly.
Pat
and you know
Riley
he's gonna,
in the Armani suits. You
know
this is all
happen.
Coming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so when, just one last question on this. When do you start shooting? When does this happen? When do we get more of the show? Do you know?
Shooting, my understanding is late August, early September.
Back at it.
We're back at it. Yeah. Yeah, and
we got to come to set one.
Dude, what are you doing?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about? Don't crash.
Friends of the set, and then we come down, we shoot a little behind the scenes. and we hold it until
I think
HBO's
episode. Got their own BTS thing, but we can try. We can
send me a text, man. I'll see what I can do.
That's what I mean.
All right.
Let's see.
So here we go. So you're going to be.
Don't get what you don't ask for, Rich.
So you're getting the cigars back. You're getting the whole thing back. And
well, you know, I have to say I'm a little concerned about the cigars because I did quit smoking cigars 20 years ago.
Uh-oh.
Are they real cigars?
That, 22 years ago.
Were they real cigars?
No. No.
Ah,
they have a tobacco wrapper, but it's a cacophony of crap inside it. It tastes like the bottom of a shoe. Ah. It's just not okay. I don't know what they put in it.
Bad.
I don't even want to know. It's horrible what they make me smoke. Ah. And they, on top of it, they have me huffing that sucker, too.
You're right, of course.
You know?
Well, I mean, and John C. Reilly's smoking cigarettes. You can even hear it burning. Like, you could hear hear these cigarettes burning in some of these
cloves.
Scenes.
Those are cloves cigarettes. Oh, no bueno at all, God. No. Oh. And, you know, I love the way they shoot it, though, in like five different formats.
Yes.
Really give you a sense of the period and the feel of it. I love everything about the way they're making the show and where I can see where it's going. And Max has told me some things about what, well, you guys are going to love it. I can't swear.
No, it's incredible. It really is. We have enjoyed it. And again, we know that, you know, certain L.A. Lakers in this town aren't very happy with their portrayals and things of that nature, but it is incredibly entertaining. I've enjoyed every single minute of it. When you come on the screen, just knowing you and knowing how much you love the Celtics, and like you are made to do this. What a stroke.
Really right.
What a stroke.
And then on top of it, now we're in the finals.
Yeah.
The Celtics are in
on
the
top
finals.
Of winning, well, the interesting thing is, you went up by Michael Chiklis here on the Rich Eisen Show, Winning Time on HBO and HBO Max. That, you know, you've got to love the fact, again, because I know you are who you are and your role in the show and who you are in real life. The fact that the Lakers are not winning, but the Celtics.
Like, and we've been busting ice. I'm like, Max, how the Lakers doing? And he's like, oh.
Because they're Laker fans, the people that made this show.
Yeah, he's a huge Laker fan.
And the Celtics, just.
This is a really good squad, man. They have chemistry. You know this. We've talked about this. So many teams, you look at them on paper and they should be able to win it all. And it's really the thing to me that defines the greatest of teams, because there's like always six or eight teams that could do it, right? But it's the one that where the chemistry between the players is just electric. You know, like those knucklehead 2004 Red Sox. They had it going on in the dugout. You know what I mean? It was, and when you see that kind of camaraderie, interesting game the other day. It was almost as if they were happy to take the first game. And,
yes.
And you know what I mean? Because no one had a good game.
Right.
You know, and they're a deep team, and none of their guys, everybody sort of, it was almost like they collectively took the second half off. They just sort of backed off of it. Didn't that feel that way?
Well, I mean, Stephen A. Smith was even saying afterwards that was an unfortunate error on their part, because you let the Warriors back in. You could put your stamp on things.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. You know,
greed is good, to use the Gordon Gekko phrase, and that is in sports, that if you can be greedy, go ahead and be greedy and come up with that win. But, you know, the fact that they took game one, which they weren't very good in historically this playoffs, but they do well on the road. That was huge. There's no question about it.
And, I hate to say this, but the Heat did that to us too, right? Mm-hmm. In similar fashion. So I just am a big believer in it. You don't take your foot off the neck of a champion. You got to finish him.
Sure. And you know, your Brady Patriots showed that over and over and over again. What's so great about being a sports fan, when you believe in your team and you have that pride in your team, but part of you knows the team's not going to be very good coming into the season, or you're hoping for something good to happen, and then the team doesn't perform very well in the beginning and just catches fire and shows a camaraderie and a chemistry and a heart.
Yeah.
That's where you love your team. And this Celtics team is exactly that. I mean, we've seen like Cardinals teams in baseball come on strong in the second half of a season, or we've seen the Cubs do that too. It's other teams that do that. But this has got to be just one of the more enjoyable experiences.
I really attribute it to the chemistry, them catching fire. Yeah. That's someone, and I think my instinct is that it's Smart and Big Al that are playing a big role in the locker room, right? Yeah. Al, you know, is the veteran. He's salty. He's been around, and I think he's got some things to say. But Smart seems to he seems to be really super passionate.
He's really gotten it. I really think the evolution of Smart as a player and a leader, you've really seen leader. It this year. I think he really needed a guy like Ime to come in and kind of bring that out of him.
Yeah.
He's been awesome. He's been tremendous.
I think he's been amazing, yeah. Really. But I'm just talking about the locker room chemistry. And you know, I mean, he's been great on the court. There's no question about it. But that's that X factor that I'm talking about, a guy who seems to extract the best out of the guys around him. Listen, I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know who's who. But that's just my instinct in terms of who's doing what.
Any plans to go to any of these games?
I'm hoping to go to game six, but now there's a bunch of work stuff that has come up, and I'm not going to complain about any of that.
Of course. But if let's just say it's game six, let's just say you do get to go, and you do get to go to that arena, and there's 3 minutes to go. Do you take out a cigar?
You know I'm going to have a stogie right here. You know I am.
You
know I'm
doing.
You know, do you take a cigar?
Do I fire it up, though?
Yeah.
That's probably against code in that town. I don't know.
If we're up 20, you have to.
Yeah, what's the point total that's safe against the Warriors?
They're not going to kick you out.
You don't think so?
No. They're not going to kick you out.
You could say, don't you know who I am? I'm Red Auerbach.
There's a statue in the wall. Like, they're not going to kick you out.
Go in character.
Yeah, like, that is true. Right. Go in character.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. I'll be mocked from here to eternity.
That's true.
You know, come on, let's face it. So, you know.
It would be awesome. You should go in full hour back.
That's why he's saying he would be mocked mercilessly.
I don't think you'd be mocked.
Yeah, no, I can't do that.
He can't do that. He's
that would be awesome. Though.
As it is, I'm pushing the line on Twitter. You know, goofing on it. You know, but I mean, I'm having fun with that.
Of course, you are.
Yeah,
it is amazing. I mean, just think about it. Life is amazing because you know you've had so many great successes in your career, Michael. But the fact that you play our back on a hit show. Just as the Celtics catch fire and make the NBA finals and potentially
my
win
wife
it all.
Said this paragraph.
Like I mean like you yeah, could not like, you what? Couldn't have made this like as if you didn't have enough yachts to water ski behind with your Patriots and the Red Sox winning four times and breaking the curse. I mean this has got to be up there.
I wish I made
brother.
All their money.
Yeah man. I mean this is what a run.
Yeah, it's been incredible. Obviously. I mean my daughters were saying like you know, tell me about Red Auerbach. And, you know, and I'm like, honey, they burned his name on the parquet floor.
And that's how you said it.
Exactly. You know, I mean, doesn't that say
it? There's a statue sitting on a bench with a foot-long cigar and, you know, Boston Common.
Honey,
come on.
They burned his name on the parquet floor. What more do you need to know?
That's it. That's my poor kids. They lived in Los Angeles, and I forbade them from being Lakers fans.
That's good parenting.
I was like, I said, there's no one in my house that's going to say the words, go Lakers, ever. It's just not happening.
Mocking is fine, right? Like sarcastic, sardonic mocking
that's
is
right.
good.
Yes, you could do that.
I love how you said in earnest. You got to add in earnest. I love that.
Yeah. Right? I remember when I met Magic Johnson, we were doing a tie-in for the NBA and with the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. And it was the Fantastic Four versus Magic. Mm-hmm. And he walked into the gym where we were shooting this, you know, this commercial for 3 days. And I went, you mother... And I just swore
you
at
did.
Him. I did. And he burst out laughing. And he went, that's right, you're a Celtics guy. And we laughed. And he was a gentleman and couldn't have been more gracious and amazing. And then he started to regale me with all these incredible stories about he and Bird. And, you know, I kind of look at those guys as the quintessential sort of old warriors that mm-hmm. you know, they've survived all the wars and now they have no one else to relate to but each other. Mm-hmm. You know, the gladiators,
sure.
You know. And that's the way it felt listening to him. And I went into my trailer at the end of the 3 days, and there were 5 signed basketballs on my desk in my trailer. And no one asked. I didn't ask him to do that. It was really, really lovely.
No kidding.
And yeah, he went in. He signed a bunch of basketballs and left them on my in my trailer, which, you know, was lovely too. So, I mean, he's a class act, and it was incredible. And it was funny to be able to swear at him. And I said to him, Magic, people think that my voice is scratchy because I smoked or something. It's from screaming at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's from literally and screaming to be heard at my dinner table growing up.
Understood.
You know, because Greeks, you know, we're loud. But, and I told them the nicknames for all the Lakers from that time that we had, like Worthless, and, you know. You know. You were there.
I do love that spite. And again, that does play in Winning Time. One of my favorite lines of the season was from the scene, and I've mentioned this a couple times on the show, so for our listening and viewing audience, I apologize for repeating it, where John C. Reilly as Jerry Buss is talking to Jerry West. They're having this character, this conversation right. about which coach is he going to stick with? Which is he going to, go back? Right. You know, to McKinney, or is he going to stick with Westhead and Reilly? And he asks Jerry West for help. And Jerry's like, I don't want any part of this conversation because you're going to stick me with what, you know, right. if I'm wrong, I'm just going to stick with me and all that. And he tells him, you know, Buss, like, I'm asking everybody. I'm even asking my priest. And West's line is like, oh, don't ask him. He's probably a Celtic fan. That made me laugh out loud. Like, I was on a plane watching it coming back Fantastic. From New York. And I laughed out loud because that's exactly you cursing at Magic Johnson and reminding him about all the nicknames from back in the day. And that sort of sports spite is another thing that we love about sports.
Well, this is incredible. This guy, Max Bornstein, what a great writer. The dialogue is just crackled, leaps off the page. And again, you know, as an actor, that's what you're always looking for is great storytelling and insightful and, you know, that we look for truths in stories,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You know, it's not about, you know, like people always have this sort of misnomer of, oh, you're a great actor. You must be a great liar. It's not true. It's not true. You're looking for the truth in whatever story you're telling. And people can discern what's true and what's shit.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right. You're comfortable, and we appreciate that. And you're telling your story. I like it. It's all good.
Well, you know,
it's all good.
I try to keep it clean.
Actually, do you have a few more minutes to stick around here?
I do.
Okay, very good. Because when we come back, I want to talk about Tom Brady, and I want to ask you how your dog's doing because I miss your dog very much. Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Michael Chiklis is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Also, I want to talk about the Red Sox.
Oh, God help.
That's coming up next right on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show in the Here and Now, we just showed a video from 5 years ago, man, of Michael Chiklis being here with his pug, TB12,
Tom
Brady.
He was still a Patriot.
Yeah. How's your dog now? How's Tom Brady now?
Tom Brady, the pug, is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little jilted with regard to the real Tom Brady.
Oh!
Yeah. When the head fake retirement happened, and I understand why, I think he took that as an opportunity to circle the wagons.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Tom's phone went out. And I am no longer on that phone list.
Oh.
I have been jilted. Like, feel like a 14-year-old.
He tightened the
wagon. I am not in a circle.
Oof.
It's so. Okay.
We got to rectify that.
No good. Breaking news there.
No good.
No one knows that.
Oh my gosh! Well, now we have to rectify that. That's no good. He's going to be calling games for 10 years once he's done playing. You heard about that, right?
10 with the way he does things.
Yeah, exactly.
45.
I know. Like, he'll be 90
he'll be
years
like 90
old,
looking good. You know, well, I don't know what he's doing.
Still, three to four Super Bowls clear of any other human being that's ever played the game.
Crazy
at that way.
He could win another one.
I know.
He could win another one.
Well, that's why part of the reason why he's coming back. I mean, I think it's entirely possible he can.
He's ripped. It's absurd.
Did you see that video of his underwear and all that sort of
stuff? I tried to not.
Tried to not look at
it. Yeah, like, okay.
Too much Tom.
That's a little.
Oh,
yeah, TMT.
TMT. Too much Tom.
That was too much Tom.
TMT? Too much Tom?
Yeah, too much Tom.
All right. So do we not talk about the Red Sox at all? Is it like Bruno?
It's been like this for months.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
This guy comes in every day. Should we talk how many games up are we in the standings?
Let me check, actually. I didn't check today.
That was so passive aggressive.
The Sox have won five in a row, which is amazing.
Over 500.
Yeah, Yankees have won six in a row. So they haven't gained a single game in that five-game win streak. 11.5 back. I'll do the math for you. That's 12 in the loss.
Keep talking.
He's talking,
Rich.
and I'm getting mad at him every day. Because Rich, August, I hate this. This is why I hate when
it's June 7th. June 7th.
He's dead on. It's I'm June 7th. That's June why 7th. I'm not talking.
What are you talking about?
We have two or three injuries. We're down. June 7th. We'll be the Red Sox will be in first.
Excuse me.
Thank you, Mike.
I've lived this. Keep talking.
No. Keep talking. It's okay.
It's something that I'm reveling in every single day. I'm speaking it into existence.
But at the end of the year, if we get 28,
manifesting? Is that what's happening? You're just hanging out?
Mike, manifesting works.
Join me in manifesting, Mike.
I think he understands.
He doesn't understand the nature of baseball.
You're manifesting. You got three more wins to go in the NBA Finals. You're manifesting. You're manifesting right now. The Celtics are manifesting every day since January 1st.
They won the last 10 years.
It's
the end of the season.
The season's ending.
Give it to him.
The baseball season is closer to the beginning than the end.
No, it's kind of over. It's over.
I agree with that. We're manifesting a Subway Series right now.
Listen, there's no doubt.
We spotted you 11 and a half.
There's no doubt but that this Red Sox team is they give underperforming a new meaning.
That's correct.
Which is fair. There's no question. And I'm sure that there are conversations.
Trevor Story thought he was still playing spring training. He joined. It was good to have him join the league on May 18th.
We're not at the deadline yet. We're not at the trade deadline. Are you okay?
All right. I'm already going to predict you guys are going to be in second or third. What? Like I'm telling you, I've lived this.
It's terrifying for any pitcher to stand in front of that lineup. That Yankee lineup is.
So you're saying I'm lighting the cigar before halftime? Is that what you're saying right now?
Halftime hasn't happened yet. Exactly. You're in the second quarter and you're firing up. Yeah. I don't think that Red would have done that.
No.
Red would not have fired up.
Mike Orbach says no, Rich. Okay. Stop.
Mike Orbach. By the way,
like
Red,
he's in Law and Order.
Red, you know.
Not his name.
Red, a Brooklyn kid. He's a Brooklyn kid.
I know. I know. Yeah. You've got the accent, man.
Yeah.
I heard that. I love that.
2-4 bet the Rays.
Are they gonna,
what are you doing?
Are they,
let me ask you something, Richie. How you doing?
I'm going tonight. You want to go down to Anaheim, Mike?
Are you going?
Yeah, I'm going tonight.
You're going.
I'm going tonight and Thursday.
Okay.
I was thinking Thursday, actually.
Yeah. The Pivetta on Thursday. He's been on fire.
Yeah. Okay. Enjoy that. Good luck. The Angels have lost. How many in a row have they lost?
12
in a row.
I think they lost 12
in a row.
Oh,
my God.
You can't not look at the Yankees as the team to beat. But I'm going to throw a curveball at you right now.
Okay.
I've been saying since the beginning of the season, really, in our division, the team to look at is the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yes. Yes, then the Yankees.
They've got deep pitching for the first time in God knows when.
Yes.
And they've got the chemistry in that dugout, like I talk about.
Yes.
And these guys love each other.
Yes.
And, man, they can hit.
Mash.
Man, they can smash.
They sure can hit.
Vladdy hit two last night?
Absolutely.
This kid, Vladdy, is a terrifying batter. He reminds me of Manny.
Yes. Yes.
And he's got that goofiness too. He spreads it.
I hear you. And the Yankees beat them 3 of 4 in April before sweeping them 2 of 3 in May. They swept them.
Stats there?
They swept them in May as well. So yeah, that's great.
Am I keeping you awake?
No, Rich? I'm not keeping. No. I'm just saying.
You're just saying, all right. Well, April say something. Baseball. You know what? No, you're not saying anything. What you're doing is you're talking around stuff. So if you're going to talk about it, go ahead. Say what you can say.
What I'm saying is, there's a canyon that heroes go in.
Oh. Stop! Make it stop!
And,
oh my God!
And I've got a whole bunch of confetti, and it's time to throw it. It's time to throw it.
I want 28.
You've got a duck. You've got a duck boat. You might be in a duck boat by next week. You could be in a duck boat by next week.
We could be
a
there.
Basketball well, duck
but
boat.
See, I'm not. Listen, I. I'm terrified right now because we took our foot off their necks, and these Golden State Warriors can shoot, man, and they're really, really heavily skilled. And I don't know, I would have put my foot on the gas after that. 50-50, wasn't it 50-50 exactly at that?
It was 52-50.
Yeah, it's right there.
All right, it was right there. Right there. We were right there.
No question.
Even third quarter, it got down to six.
I know.
I don't know. It reminds me, and I hate to even make these analogies, but wasn't it 2011 when the Bruins, the Toronto Maple Leafs took their foot off of the Boston Bruins' neck, and we scored five goals in the last 5 minutes of the third period? I remember that. When you're playing a champion, you don't let them up. You have to finish them. No?
It sounds like by the way, was that a line from Winning Time right there?
No, that's just me.
That's a good one. You're perfect, man.
That's 2004 Yankees right there. They should have finished and they didn't.
You have to finish the opponent.
I don't understand where this is coming from.
You can't disrespect them and go into a defensive posture. You know, you have to finish them.
Well, it's really cute that you guys are discussing baseball and you never mentioned the best team in the league right now.
That's, all right.
What's happening over here? What's happening?
It's the New York Mets. That's what's happening.
We're sadly out of time. That'll wrap it up for this show. We will see you on Wednesday in a moment.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.